Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore, where our mission is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Hey, podcast listeners, welcome back. Andrew here with me, as always, is Dr. Tim Elmore. How are you today, Tim?
I'm okay.
I always try and get a smile on your face.
And it's not hard.
Well, I'm excited. Today's conversation, I know this, I'm always excited.
Yeah.
But today's conversation is about what we do here at Growing Leaders, which is we grow leaders.
Yeah.
So we're always talking about technology and culture and social and emotional skills and all of those things. But for us, kind of the meat and potatoes of why we're here and why we do what we do is because we're also trying to grow leaders.
Yeah.
And that's why this topic is so important today.
It is, absolutely. And I would like to challenge listeners on this topic. I believe there are many, many kids under our noses that may not see themselves as a leader.
Yeah.
Because they have a definition that's limiting or something. But today we're going to try to broaden your view and illustrate how it can be done.
Yeah, we'd love for you to notice and start building leaders around you this year. So start with a story.
Yeah. So there was a great human interest story that was released some years ago. A little boy by the name of DeMonte Love. What a great name.
That is a great name.
He was 6 years old when Hurricane Katrina swept through New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
Now, you may or may not remember, have fond memories. You were old enough to remember that. I really remember actually interacting with people that lived there at the time. It was just, the city was just leveled in so many ways. Well, DeMonte was a six-year-old little boy when he realized he was one of many, many kids, like over 200 kids that suddenly became refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, a refugee is somebody that's been displaced.
Yeah.
I don't know where my home is, my mom is. So trying to escape and get away from the flooding waters, but trying to find refuge somewhere was huge, and he got separated. So there were kids that were as young as 2 years old. Some were just walking, holding hands. One was still wearing diapers. I mean, this was just crazy, but they were all still surviving. Somehow they had survived, and now they were on their own. So the oldest one of this group was a six-year-old boy who was holding a five-month-old baby, and he ended up speaking for all of them when they got connected to police, and his name was DeMonte Love. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, when I'm reading this story, how could a six-year-old be the leader? Well, when you're the oldest one in the group, you're kind of leading by default. So the hurricane raged, and I mean, people were running everywhere. DeMonte was scared. He admitted it at the time, but he knew he had to stay calm on behalf of the other children.
Amazing, a six-year-old going, I need to stay calm.
That's, yeah, well, he knew they were going to panic, and that would make it worse for him. He knew he was the oldest kid in the group and felt they were going to need his help. So that sense of responsibility arose up within him. And then he believed he had to step up and lead the way, even though at the time he admitted as a first grader, I didn't see myself as a leader. So this escape began as he was with his mother and they got separated. There were helicopters flying and she said, you take care of yourself and take care of anybody else. So his mom had kind of charged him to lead. And he did. So I look back on that story and I think if a six-year-old can do that in the midst of tragedy, certainly it's within everybody, and we just need to find out what was it going on inside of DeMonte that made him a leader that day without a badge.
So many kids have this inside of them, and you know, if you've ever, it's one thing to put kids as you're the line leader for the day, you know, but when something really happens, you know, there's a disagreement or some great tragedy or some great difficulty, something can come out of our kids that we didn't even recognize
was
there. We pay so much attention to the rules and the regulations and the behavior expectations and all of this stuff that I think we don't often ask enough, what else is inside of there?
Yeah.
What do they have to bring to the table? And that applies for the six-year-olds out there and the 15 and 20-year-olds out
there.
Right. How often are we asking, what do they have to bring to the table? And
that's
what
right.
are we doing to develop that and bring that out of them?
Yeah. So at 6 years old, DeMonte actually led those children to safety where they got in the hands of police and later reunited with their parents. So somehow he thought, I got to keep going. I'll make this up as I go until everybody's back with mama.
Mm.
And he himself got reunited with his mother, who, by the way, her name is Katrina.
How about
amazing.
That?
Yeah.
Wow.
So quite amazing.
Wow.
So that's where I think we start. We start with, this is possible.
Yeah.
You don't need a position or a title.
Yeah.
But we need to pull out or maybe summon what's inside of those kids and pull it out.
I love that mindset. So you have, just to kind of set a baseline for this, years ago, I remember first hearing this, and now I've gotten to teach it, which is pretty cool to watch that transformation in me. But you have a series of ideas about how we define leadership. When we use that term leadership here at Growing Leaders, and for a lot of folks, this is a deviation from how they've heard leadership defined before. It's about power and position and all of those things, and we don't see it that way because we wouldn't expect that young kids could be leaders if we felt like it took a position and power to do that. They don't have that, right?
That's right.
What they do have is they have a lot inside of them, and so when we recognize what leadership really looks like, you can see how kids can be leaders. So you call this our philosophy of leader development. I think we should walk through these and just talk about how each one feeds the way that kids can become leaders.
Absolutely. All right. So number one, we believe leadership development is an inside job before it's an outside job.
Yeah. So it's not first about leadership is not first about impacting the kids around us. It's actually about leading ourselves first.
Yeah, yeah.
And recognizing changing ourselves on the inside is the best path to making an impact outside.
And I would add to that, even knowing that I've got to lead myself, and then I've got to build qualities before I build skills.
Yeah.
Eventually, I will speak well, maybe, or organize well, or strategize well, but I got to work on,
I got to
think like a leader before I'm a leader.
Qualities before skills. I love that.
Yep. Number two, we believe it's a process more than an event.
Yeah.
Boy, we love events in America. But,
but a process is where life really changes, right? Yeah. We've all been catalyzed by that really great weekend conference we went to or that summer camp. Do you remember when you decided you were going to change your life at summer camp?
Yeah.
And then you get back home and nothing ever changes.
Yeah.
True change happens in processes, regular intervals. It's habits and it's attitudes and all the decisions that go along with that.
That's right. Number three, we believe it's a right brain function before it's a left brain function. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, we think so much about our world as being didactic, right?
Yeah.
It's about logic and reason and all that. Those are certainly important things.
Yeah.
But that's not where decisions start with leadership. Mm-hmm. Most leaders, for them, it's an emotional decision first. And that's really what our right brain is all about, right? It's the artistic, emotional kind of side of who we are. And most of us make our decisions that way. We begin our leadership journey that way. And then we build some of those didactic leadership principles later on.
Yeah. So. Well, and I would even add, that's one of the reasons we use habitudes.
Yeah.
Habitudes are images that form leadership habits and attitudes. So we teach leadership development with a picture, and that totally engages the right hemisphere of the brain.
Yeah.
And now pictures are worth 1,000 words, and we're off and running.
Yep.
But we don't start with, there's 17 points you need to learn here.
Yeah.
We think that comes later, perhaps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Number four, I love this one. It's more about a disposition than a position.
Love
You've
it.
Already hinted at that.
Yeah. It's attitude, right? It's mindset. We always think you're not a leader until you have the position of a leader, but that's not true.
Yeah.
Often the leader of the room is not the most influential person in the room. We've all been on teams where we recognize that guy's in charge, but that woman over there is the one who has the most influence. That means leadership is actually a disposition. It's a mindset, an attitude, and it ultimately comes down to influence, and influence is different than position.
Yeah. Number five, we believe leadership development is learned through both uploading and downloading.
Yeah, you can't just listen and all of a sudden become a leader, right? Yeah, so much the same way as you work on a computer. If you're constantly downloading things but you're never uploading, then you have not contributed to the conversation.
Yeah.
And most people cannot actually build themselves in any significant way without getting to speak up and speak out. And that's really what this is about. Do they get to upload their thoughts, not just have to download your thoughts?
Yeah, I love the phrase we've used for years. There is no life change without life exchange.
So true.
We're saying exchange life. Okay. Number six, we believe it's about an experience, not just an explanation.
Yeah.
I love to explain things and teach things and instruct.
Yeah.
But boy, it's an experience, isn't it?
I think of this as we think lab, not lecture.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
The goal is if we actually want them to step into leadership, we can't just approach it with the mindset of, I'll tell you what you need to know, right? Now, we've got to create environments and experiences in which they can discover leadership for themselves. Yeah. I got to practice being a leader. That's where I really figure it out. Years ago, when I was in a leadership conference, for 2 weeks, they taught us about leadership. And then for 1 week, we went and practiced leadership. Ooh. I learned way more in that third week than I did the first two.
Yeah, I love it. All right, next. We believe it's about relationships before it's about results.
Yeah.
Now, both are important.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're always looking at the bottom line, right? Especially in schools and businesses and all that. We want to know, what, are we hitting our numbers? Are we getting the GPAs? All those kinds of things. Certainly, those things are important. But the secret to getting there is to realizing that results come as an after effect of great relationships.
Yeah.
How often do we build connection? We always say, we've got to build bridges of relationship with our students that can bear the weight of difficult conversations and honest disclosure. And so it really is about how are we building our relationships first, and then recognizing if we put the right thing as the first thing, then we'll see the results we want later on.
Here's another. We believe it's more about small groups than big groups.
Yeah.
So how many of us have gone to a gigantic conference with 1,000 people or whatever it is, and we're taking notes, and that's good.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you can develop or mentor somebody in a large, massive group.
That's not where the biggest life changes happen. And we'd all recognize that, right? I get inspired at a big conference, but my life actually changes with a small accountability group, you know, or a mentor who's helping me grow. So are we, when we do our development times, are we doing them just in big groups, or are we also breaking things up and giving people an opportunity to get in small, tight communities as well?
Yep. A couple more. We believe it's learned best in community, not in isolation.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably a duh for most people, but today we can learn stuff online alone.
Absolutely. And many kids are, right? They think, oh, I know all about that. I watched the YouTube video, you know?
Yeah.
But the reality is real development, especially leadership development, can only happen in a social context. We need other people in order to fully reach our potential, and that's what that's all about.
Yeah. One last one. Our final list of philosophy, and by the way, we teach this in our Next Generation Certification
we
event.
We do, yeah.
And we go deeper in it. But I love this last one. We saved it to last on purpose. We believe it's more caught than taught. You can't be instructing and then the kids see your life looking completely different, and they're not going to get it.
Yeah, we have a habitude many may not be familiar with called family virus, right? And it's a recognition when one member of a family gets a virus, the very next thing that happens is everybody else gets it too. The same thing happens with our leadership, right? If we're going to stand in front of our kids and go, be people of integrity, and then they watch us go and make a poor character choice, they're going to go, well, obviously she didn't mean that, you know? And so it really is, how are you helping your students catch what you're trying to get them to understand, not just teaching them what you're trying to get them to understand? I love this conversation, Tim, and you're heading us towards, with this philosophy as a baseline, towards talking about four key ideas we can begin to implement to help cultivate the young leaders around us. So once we recognize them, how do we cultivate them? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive into that. Hey guys, I'd like to talk to you about our curriculum, Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning. Growing up in a post-pandemic world means that many students today are facing new challenges and often don't have the social and emotional skills to handle it all. When students possess skills like self-awareness, impulse control, empathy, teamwork, and responsible decision-making, they're prepared to not only survive, but succeed inside and outside of the classroom. Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning comes in both middle school and high school versions and presents a fun, image-based pedagogy designed to delight and challenge your students. Find out more about how you can get Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning to your school by going to growingleaders.com/SEL. All right, we are back. Tim, you're going to talk to us about four ideas on how to cultivate. So once we recognize a young leader, how do we actually begin to pull that leadership ability out of them?
Yeah. So let me tell a story. I once led a student named Rick who could have been voted by his classmates the least likely to become a leader. And I'll tell you why. He was very unassuming, so he wasn't aggressive, never assertive. He was very quiet, and I would say he even described himself as an introvert.
Yeah.
You know? In fact, I think I scared him the first time I suggested he should lead a group of peers. And when he balked, at the idea. I knew I needed to step back, slow down, encourage him through a stage-by-stage process. And I'll tell you what I did, quite frankly, with him. First, I encouraged him to merely join a study group and participate in a community.
Yeah.
So you don't have to lead it, just be a part of it.
Yep.
And that was a big deal for him. Then I invited him to join a training experience to give him exposure to leadership concepts. And next, I encouraged him to help me make some big decisions on so he saw the bigger picture, saw where we were going.
You're very crafty, Tim.
Yes, I am, yes. And then next, I encouraged him to apprentice alongside a leader and watch her lead a group.
Mm.
And then finally, I invited him to lead a team, and I provided an ongoing evaluation where he felt like he wasn't getting way off track because Tim was sharing some guided evaluation. But that step-by-step process, oh my gosh, it was revolutionary for him. And the good news is Rick's story has been multiplied thousands of times over my career and really over your time. This is what we do now. I have given my life to the task of nurturing young people into leadership. I've tried to help kids see themselves as a leader or an influencer who commits to solving problems and serving people. We use that phrase all the time, solving problems and serving people. And once they realize that leadership is less about a position and more about a disposition, the light bulbs tend to go on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some fundamentals to make this happen, and that's, of course, where we want to go here.
So every great leadership experience has a couple of components that you talk about, these four ideas that we're getting into. I think you think of them almost like baking a cake.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
absolutely. So we know that if you're baking a cake, there's essential ingredients to make the recipe work, right? If you get the ingredients wrong, if you do too much of one or not enough of the other, you can find yourself in a problem situation. However, if you get everything right, tasty is your result, right?
Yes.
So there are fundamental ingredients in leadership development that have to be added for that same kind of outcome. So when we see leaders cultivating healthy young leaders out of students, these four things are almost always present.
Yeah.
In fact, we might even say always present.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They all come together because we are who we are to form an acronym.
Yeah. That's right.
For IDEA. Yeah. So we call this the big idea for developing leaders. So walk us through it.
Absolutely. In fact, I love the way you said that. There may be 400 things that leaders need to learn, but there's four fundamentals, almost like the primary colors in a painting, you know, that sort of thing. So this is how you develop young leaders, and it does spell the word idea. So this is the big idea. If you're listening and you're in a car and you can't take notes, you'll remember this. It spells the word idea.
Yep.
And please don't take notes if you're driving a car.
That's too dangerous.
All right. So the letter I in idea is the obvious one. They're going to need some instruction.
Yeah.
Leaders need to provide, I think, some verbal insights to young people and explanations. It's not the only thing.
Yeah.
In fact, this is the easiest part to do. We can all teach, blah, 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 blah. But I do think some explanation helps them form a paradigm.
Here's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. This furnishes teams with insights on both the why as well as the what to do and why. And this interaction can happen in classrooms or really anywhere where the goal is to guide a discovery process.
Yeah.
You want them to discover something. So I love the fact that long ago we found out that using images or metaphors is a great way to help these concepts be sticky.
Yeah.
We call them habitudes, images that form leadership habits and attitudes. But bottom line, they need instruction. And I would say, remember this. They're going to need conversations with you.
Yes.
They're going to need conversations.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as a part of instruction, we need to make sure they're also getting some upload time that terminology we started with.
Absolutely. All right. The letter D in idea, along with instruction, they're going to need demonstration.
Mm.
So it's not just tell them, tell them, tell them. It's show and tell.
Yeah.
All right. So leaders need to find ways to model what the insights look like in real life. This furnishes students with confidence and vision because they see it right in front of their eyes. And sometimes I've given good examples and bad examples. Don't do what I just did. That's not going to work really well.
Yeah.
This example that you're giving them can be as simple as watching someone, you or someone else, in person or on video, but they're practicing the very concept you've just talked about.
Yeah.
Okay? It's an important element because people do what people see. It's caught, like we said, as much as taught.
Mm.
So the first one was people need conversation. This one reminds us, they're going to need observation. Yeah. They need to see you.
I remember when I first learned to drive a manual transmission car, right? You can't just be told, here's how you do it. You got to go around to the driver's side, have them open the door, and they show you the pedals and how that works. Yeah. And that was a key part. Now, the big part was me doing it myself, of course, but I needed to see what it looked like in an accurate way in order to, and that's exactly what you're talking about.
Far better than a lecture.
Yes, it is.
All right, the letter E in the word idea is experience. So teaching is good, instruction. Demonstration's even better. You're showing them. But now, like you just said with the manual transmission, somewhat they got to get up off their bottom and they got to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So leaders need to turn teens loose to practice the insight on their own, to apply the insights they've listened to. And this builds skills and abilities that don't come in any other way. In fact, I believe learning isn't complete until they've executed tasks for themselves.
Yeah.
This process ensures that theory becomes practice, and that's the goal. Nothing worse than kids learning about leadership for an entire semester and never got to do a thing.
Yep.
They're going to be frustrated.
Yeah.
So if students lack experience today, I think it's often because we fear they won't execute it perfectly.
Yep.
So we just end it with a seminar or a talk. So here's what I'm saying here. We've already said they need conversation. We've said they need observation. I think they need application before they really learn anything.
Yes. Okay. This is the most essential function of education and the one that's easiest to leave off, right? If I'm out of time, let's cut the experience.
Yeah.
But they need this more than anything. They got to try it out for themselves.
Yeah, that's right. So the last letter and idea, they need assessment.
Mm.
So I've heard all my life, you probably have too, that experience is the best teacher. That's not always true because students can have a bad experience.
And then give up,
Draw the wrong conclusion, So leaders need to make time to debrief and evaluate. I did this with Rick.
Yeah.
You know, so let's evaluate. So you're evaluating the learning outcomes and how they did, what they did well, what they didn't do well. This furnishes them with wisdom and perspective. I don't believe that experience is the best teacher without this kind of assessment.
Mm.
We need to take time to debrief and to assess what happens so that they gain helpful insight from their practice. So here's my word here. They need conversation. You know, we've already talked about that. They need observation. They need application. Now they need evaluation.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, whoever you're thinking about training, these four make it, at least as far as you humanly can, these four make it. This is the flour, sugar, milk, and butter of the cake.
The essential ingredients.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's such a good reminder for us. So I would definitely encourage anybody listening to this to sit down and evaluate all of your programs, your curriculums, your classrooms, all of those things and go, do I have each of these four components involved or have I cut one in favor of time or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Just make sure the essential components are there.
Yeah, so I'll wrap it up this way, Andrew. Going back to Rick, my story about Rick. If Rick could talk to you today, he would affirm that this process was what helped him move from an ordinary student. He saw himself as very ordinary to a growing leader.
Mm.
Here's the cool thing. When I moved away from San Diego, Rick not only had led these study groups for years, he was now leading all of the study group leaders. He had multiplied his influence, and he probably would have said, that was the last thing I would have expected of myself. So through repetition, he recognized he was pretty good at solving problems and serving people. And the fact is, leadership matters, and it matters disproportionately. And Rick would tell you that in a heartbeat. So I say, let's go build a generation of leaders.
I love that. Thank you so much, Tim. Thank you guys for listening in on this conversation. We believe it's essential that we develop young leaders. In fact, in everything that we do, we say we do it with a leadership bias.
That's right.
So if you're out there wondering, how do I do this in a more robust way? We mentioned our tool, Habitudes, and I would commend that tool to you. Habitudes are simply images that form leadership habits and attitudes. They give us a fun and exciting way to actually follow the big idea of developing leaders. And since we do everything with leadership bias, we recommend our Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning program. It's being used by hundreds of schools all around the country and many places all around the world. And what we do is we develop social and emotional skills that prepare students to be and act and think like leaders. So if you want to find out more information about that, head on over to growingleaders.com/SEL and you can learn more about our Habitudes program. Well, as always, if you would rate this podcast, give us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, that would be of great help to us. And if you found this conversation particularly helpful and you thought of somebody that you know, shoot it over to them. We would also appreciate that. If you want to connect with us online, we are at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore, pretty much everywhere you are. And then finally, if you have ideas for this podcast, subjects you think we should cover, folks you think we should interview, shoot us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those from you. Tim, thank you so much again for leading us through this conversation on leadership. And I want to commend you guys. Go out there and build some leaders.